The last time I read this gospel was at St. Mary of the Resurrection, a French Benedictine monastery and convent at modern-day Abu Ghosh in Israel, Palestine, Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Kirk and Sarah will remember it well. The church was built in 1140 over Roman ruins above an ancient spring still flowing. According to Hebrew scripture, the Ark of the Covenant rested there on its way to Jerusalem. It was said to have been built by crusaders, but doing research for this sermon, I discovered it was built by the ancient Order of St. John of Jerusalem Knights Hospitality, to which I belong. Who knew? It's one of my favorite places on earth. Imagine Gregorian chant in Latin for the Mass, canticles in French. 8-part harmonies follow each lesson between the nuns and the monks, and acoustics beyond belief. Father Ricardo, you would kill for acoustics like that. Though Roman Catholic, all of us are welcome to take full part, receive communion. With its hospitality, music, acoustics, it feels a bit like heaven. Now, you'll hear a sample of their music as ushers pick up our prayer slips this morning. This stole was woven from their own sheep. Now, I took it home. I was so excited. I've been asked to celebrate there. And when I took it in the room, Jill said, "Do you know what this smells like?" I will not say the word, but it was barnyard. That day in 2017, before the service began, a young deacon who I'd known from earlier visits approached. "You priest, right?" "We." "You read gospel in English," he said, handing me a very small Bible, letters so tiny I hoped I could read them in the semi-darkness. During the service, another deacon, beautiful tenor voice, sang the gospel in French, accompanied by a nun strumming a small African harp. Then I proclaimed the gospel in English in that ancient place, ending, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." A holy moment, a personal affirmation of faith. The context of today's readings involve rocks, stones. The psalmist speaks of God, "Be a sheltering rock for me, a walled fortress to save me, for you are my rock, my fortress." Then Peter's letter affirms, "Jesus is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. Set yourselves close to God, so that you may be living stones, making a spiritual house." The dialogue, John writes, has Jesus say, "You know the way to the place I'm going," and Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus says. "No one can come to the Father except through me." That paragraph is included at the time a person is buried. But I leave out that concluding sentence, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Literally, I don't believe that, and I don't think Jesus would either. A simple story may give one reason why. In his travels, the Buddha came to a village where a great commotion was happening. "What's going on?" he asked. A villager explained, "This man was convicted of a horrible murder and now must ride the bull." "So?" the Buddha asked. "Oh, it's not an animal," he said, "but a large, hollow bronze bull. A fierce fire being built inside will make the metal red hot. That's horrible, the Buddha explained. Yet he'll be stripped naked, placed astride the bull till he dies. A terrible pain stopped only when the searing heat hits a vital organ. The Buddha said, "Release him. I will take his place." Incredulous, as the Buddha stripped down, villagers released the criminal. Lifted up and placed astride the bull, he died the most painful death, total agony. In awe that someone would die for him and his crime, the man in wonder left and became a Buddha, telling people he met the story of the man who took his place and died that he might live. Sound familiar? Would the God we understand through the prophets and Jesus deny heaven to such a man after such a sacrifice? Surely the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, the author of salvation, life, and love, would not be limited by the words of John and his exclusive perspective at the time he was writing. It is, as the prayer says, God's love made visible in Jesus. It is the spirit of Jesus, which is the way Jesus proclaimed. And that is what the Buddha showed that day. The way is love. And I think Jesus was saying, no one comes to the Father except through love. So love is the gate I believe Jesus talked about. For all people, no matter what or who they call it. When I woke up on Thursday morning, it was like Jesus whispering in my ear, reminding me, Christianity has no monopoly on kindness, on self-giving love, or suffering on behalf of others. The old hymn came to mind, there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. And that insightful verse, for the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind. It occurred to me that a bit of humility wouldn't hurt the church once in a while. The Acts of the Apostles tells the story of Stephen, one of 7 of the 12 disciples selected to help with the distribution of bread, like what St. Luke's pantry program does every week. So Stephen is known as the first deacon of what would become the church. Returning home yesterday after 5 o'clock Mass, I found the weekly commentary from Father Trevor Pitt, a British friend who had met in our time in Jerusalem. He wrote, Stephen did not deny the charges against him. He makes a spectacular confession of faith, a model of persistence under persecution. After the example of Jesus, he willingly shared in the violent structure of our world's violence, exposing it for what it is, a crime against God. You hear that? I felt it was instructive for us American Christians in what we may face. The 7th chapter of Acts is devoted to the story of Stephen, his sermon giving a history of the Hebrew people and Jesus, ending with some very harsh words. You stubborn people, with your pagan hearts and ears, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Can you name a single prophet your ancestors never persecuted? You had the law brought to you by angels of the very ones who have not kept it. Now at this, all the members of the council shouted and stopped their ears with their hands. Then they all rushed at him, sent him out of the city, and stoned him. Those stones again. Now, contrary to traditional images, stoning did not involve killing people by throwing rocks at them, which is what I'd always thought. Stoning involved rolling a heavy boulder over a person. Beginning with the feet, a huge stone was rolled over a body until death, an ugly, painful, horrible way to die. But as you heard, as he was dying, Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not hold this against them." Second only to the death of Jesus, Stephen's was one of the most significant in the history of the church, because a faithful, highly intelligent Pharisee named Saul witnessed the way Stephen died, saw his faith, his grace, and peace, heard his words of forgiveness. Remember, Saul of Tarsus entirely approved of that killing, continued to work for the destruction of Jesus' followers who were still gathering in synagogues as well as homes. Stephen's faith as he was dying haunted Saul, showing him life and religion in a new light. After his conversion on the road to Damascus, Saul changed his name to Paul and became the missionary to the Gentiles until he was killed in Rome. Without Paul, his theology of Jesus, his founding churches throughout Eastern Europe, Ephesus, Galatia, Colossae, Philippi, Corinth, and Rome, and all those letters to them, which are earlier than the Gospels, by the way, it's doubtful we would be here worshiping God in St. Luke's Los Gatos. Doubtful that there would have been a church at all. The power of faith to overcome stones and stoning. Now, consider your life and its possible significance for the life of another person when you don't even know it. As you are faithful in the Spirit of Christ, even when sometimes it hurts. We're facing some rocky times in this country and around the world. In the spirit of power of Jesus, hang in there, trusting Jesus' way and truth to be life. And now, as our prayers are received, welcome to the monastery convent at Emmaus.